Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hamburg.
That would be a little weird. Maybe you could put the McDonald's next to the Strange Brew in Hamburg.
I mean,
let's move it out of Starkville.
We did it in Starkville. Why can't we do it in Hamburg?
Well, I mean, there needs a hamburger spot. That's a perfect place for Hamburg.
Call me crazy.
And to move McDonald's out of Starkville.
We've already got one out. We just need one more to go, and then you'll be McDonald's free.
There we go.
So I'm gonna laugh if this podcast ever gets national enough that McDonald's wants to be a sponsor, and you've got to go on there and talk about how delicious a Big Mac is.
If they give me free food,
it'd be all right. Yeah, they probably would. They probably would. They give you one of those cards, you know, like
I would take it.
Titles the owner, whatever.
I have no shame.
That's true. That's true. Neither one of us really. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And even if you aren't, you know, who cares? It's, you know, let somebody else cook it for you. Let somebody else cook a steak. We got all these great steakhouses all around the state of Mississippi. Go check them out. And look, guys, you know, it's a little warmer this weekend, but we're still in winter. It's still soup, chili, stew season. Beef is the ultimate vehicle to make your soups, your stews, your chilies the best that they can be. So put the big chili pot on the stove this weekend and cook it up. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I know you're looking for it. And they've got it. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. I tweeted it out today. That awesome picture of the stripe out from the hump is available now at College Corner. You can get the print just by itself, but they also have some awesome framing options for you if you want to spend some money and have a really cool collectible from a cool event at the Humphrey Coliseum. Check that out at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend for basketball, I suggest a trip to Restaurant Tyler. You won't regret that. You won't regret that one bit. And I'm telling you right now, you'll have the best meal you've had in quite some time. My New Year's resolution was to eat at Restaurant Tyler more often. I'm off to a great start on that. I'm going to keep it going with another trip probably this week to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations out there to serve you here in Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, but to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them quickly. You can't afford to wait around. You have to get the level of service that you're only going to get at a bank like Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. How you doing over there? How you feeling?
I'm good.
That's good to hear. Glad to hear. You're just you know, we're a Mississippi State sports podcast, but we're a sports podcast. Your thoughts on Chiefs, Eagles again? You get a little fatigue, huh?
I mean, it should be, if nothing else, it should be an entertaining game. Like, I feel like it's going to be a good game.
Agree with that, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to really deny the fact that those are two of the best teams in the entire league.
Certainly the most talented, yeah.
And when you look at it, the Eagles, since about week five, have been very dominant, probably with the most dominant team in the league. Kansas City has just made a knack out of winning games. I mean, they just – if it's a close game, they win them like 99% of the time.
Yeah.
They've played, I think, in 14 single-digit games. They've lost one this year. The percentage chances of that happening are extremely low. When you play in the NFL, you're going to slip up. You're going to lose some games that are close. The worst team in the league can compete at a much higher level than, you know, they would in college football, obviously. So there's going to be days where you're not having a good day, or, you know, the game's close and you just don't figure it out. They figure it out every time, it seems like. And it's because of the guy they got at quarterback most of the time. And, you know, probably a little help from the referees from time to time too. But, you know, I think Kansas City, even with a couple of questionable calls in that game, they were the better team against the Bills. They made the plays when they needed to be made. The defense came up when they needed to come up. Patrick Mahomes made those plays too. It's just the run they're on right now is just incredible. What they've done, it's nice to see Chris Jones in the middle of that. He's going to always be remembered as a guy that was, you know, right smack dab in the middle of one of the great dynasties.
Yeah.
They have a chance to win three straight Super Bowls. That's incredibly difficult to do.
Would that be four for Mahomes or five?
This would be four, I think. He came in around the same time as Chris Jones. So Chris Jones has three. I think he has three.
Let's see here. Let's just be sure. Chiefs. This would be his fourth. Fourth in 6 years if he gets it. And played for another, lost to Tampa Bay. So been to five Super Bowls and won four.
With Tom Brady.
Yeah, with Brady at Tampa Bay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're having a Brady-esque run here. I mean, Mahomes is, when it's all said and done, he's going to be step for step, imagine, with Tom Brady.
He's the new GOAT, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm kind of tired of it, and I don't like the Eagles at all.
Right.
But you can't help but appreciate both of them, and I've been watching the Eagles the last few years kind of, like, assemble their team and what they've done in the draft and what they've done in trades and things like that. What the things that they've done in acquiring talent and building a roster has been really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they went out, obviously they got AJ Brown a few years ago in a trade that still is just unbelievable that the Titans did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then went and got Saquon Barkley, who, you know, that might be the difference for them this year, is Saquon Barkley coming to a roster that's better suited for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the season that he's had has just been incredible. So I can't hate on either franchise and what they've done this year, but I still am just kind of fatigued with it all.
I hear you.
And I'm not a big fan of the Eagles coach either. And the Eagles fans are kind of mean. They're very mean.
Kinda, yes. They're terrible people by and large. So yeah.
We were in Charlotte for the NCAA tournament last year, and we went to go eat some supper one night at a brewery, and John Sokoloff and I were at the bar ordering our supper, and right there at the edge was two Eagle fans, like a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And John, you know, John is from Philly country.
But not an Eagles fan.
Right. He's from New Jersey, but it's like right there.
Yeah.
And he's actually a fan of everything Philly except for the Eagles for whatever reason. But
yes.
He starts trying to strike up a conversation like he does. And John's a very nice guy. Now, he has some of that Philly in him from time to time. He can get a little perturbed. Yeah. But he's just like, hey, guys, how you doing, you big Eagles fans? The dude turned around and looked at him like he was ready to end his life. Like he was about ready to fight John right there for saying, hello, are you an Eagles fan? Or like, I think John might have said, you know, like, go Eagles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out he was like from neighboring county or something like that. And the dude never like really warmed up to John. And John is like one of him. Like that, like they're from the same area, and the guy and his wife were ready to like bare knuckle fight all of us. We're just like, hey, how you doing? What'd you say to me? No. Speak up. How are you doing?
I mean,
it was a little scary.
There you go. All right. We'll give our Super
Bowl. Watch your back if you're around an Eagles fan.
I will do that. We'll give our picks for the Super Bowl. Next week, I guess sometime we'll throw a little fun pick out there or something. I think we're both probably going to pick the Chiefs if I had to guess, but
yeah, just
worry about
simple
that.
Fact of, you know, them.
Mahomes is in Brady territory, right? It's like I'm not going to pick against him. If he loses, it's a surprise. So, all right. Big week for Mississippi State basketball this week. Polls came out today. Bulldogs 13th in the coaches, 14th in the AP. So 1-1 week, they basically stayed put in these polls. In the net, I haven't checked today since further after the Sunday results. Mississippi State sitting at 21, dropped a spot. 4-3 in quad one, 4-1. In quad two, so that's 8-4 overall. So 8 of State's 16 wins, half of their wins are quad one, quad two. Very good spot to be in, and especially when you consider that State will not play a game the rest of the way, lower than quad two, I believe. And just LSU at home, they could drop down, I guess, to quad three, depending on what happens between now and then. But that, even then, there's only so much you can do when you're talking about a home conference game. This is a big week for State. They're taking on two ranked teams, Alabama and Missouri. Bama 4th in the most recent poll, and Missouri 20th, I believe, in the AP poll that came out today. If you look at the net, Alabama 7th currently, and Missouri currently 24th. So both of these games, despite being at home, are quad one opportunities for State. State can make a real statement this week, no pun intended, that they belong among the discussion for the top 2-3 seeds in the NCAA tournament, or they could just show that, you know, they're just another tournament team this week, depending on what happens this week. You know, regardless of what happens this week, State's status as a lock for the NCAA tournament is unfettered by that. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they can lose both games and nothing changes as far as State will still be in the field of 68, and I would say the field of 64. I wouldn't. They're certainly not. They're not going to be a play-in game team, but they have an opportunity here to make a real statement. Even with just one win, they could make you know, people think, okay, this team is really going in the right direction. I feel like this team is underrated by the media and but I feel like the fans feel like the team is overrated. Am I wrong on that? I feel like people, I think they're just like, ah, this team's not very good. They're not any good. And then you look at people like John Rothstein saying, this is the best team in the SEC nobody talks about.
Yeah, it's extremes on both sides, I think. It's from the media standpoint, a lot of people are not watching the games in full. They're not dissecting Mississippi State's issues. They're just looking at the final score, and they see Mississippi State's 3 losses in SEC play have come to 3 top 15 teams, 2 top 10 teams. I'm not sure where Kentucky is right now. I'm going to say top 15.
In the net, they're 14th.
Okay, so 2 top 10 teams, especially with Tennessee and Auburn on the road, and then you lost to Kentucky. So they've given nobody that's just like looking at the records, they've given them no reason to drop them drastically in these polls. And then for Mississippi State, the fan side of thing, it's living inside of the, like we talk about, the Mississippi State bubble. And I think just getting – you're looking at a lot of the issues that State has right now instead of the fact that they're gutting out some of these games and they're playing hard or whatever. They're fighting through some of that. It's not like these things are, really – hurting this team's psyche and hurting this team's confidence. They're finding ways to fight through it right now. And people, we talked about how difficult it is to win on the road. I think people let that slip from time to time when they start looking at South Carolina and the fact that they're 0-6 in the league or whatever. I think you forget that it's still very difficult to go away from your home and go play extremely well on the road. And we can't give Auburn and Florida a pass if we're going to, you know, kill Mississippi State for winning by a possession or two on the road against South Carolina. We can't say, well, you know, that South Carolina played really well against Auburn. That's why. Well, no, Auburn's number one in the country, and South Carolina's last in the SEC. So if you're going to talk about how terrible South Carolina is and give Auburn a pass, that doesn't really make sense to me. At the end of the day, I think two things are true, or three things are true. It's tough to win on the road. Mississippi State's not playing well. South Carolina's not very good. I think, you know, all three of those things can be true at the same time. And at the end of the day, I think you can look at it and say you found a way to win on the road. So I think a lot of that is, you know, when you look at some of the issues that Mississippi State's having right now, I think people are concerned that those things are going to linger on further. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not one of those people. I don't think that this is who Mississippi State is, like some people believe. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that believe they're seeing this like 2 week stretch here, and they believe this is what Mississippi State is, and I just don't believe that. We've seen enough from this team, enough flashes from this team to know what they can be. And while they aren't playing well right now, I can't sit here and be bogged down by just believe that's going to be the norm for Mississippi State moving forward. I think that they're going to find themselves out of this rut, at least in some of the issues that they've had. And, you know, Chris Jans has shown it. I mean, he's gotten two teams that I would say are not as talented as this one to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this team is capable of doing much bigger things. So I think they're going to come out of this and be a lot better for it. But the good news is you're not losing to teams right now that are anchors on your schedule. The teams you're losing to are really, really, really good teams. You haven't played great in those games, but the point still remains there. So now it's about trying to find your way out of this and continue to find ways to win, to build your resume best you can.
So what would a 2-0 week mean for Mississippi State? To me, you know, it's twofold. One, Alabama has been a big monkey on Chris Jans's back. In his short time in Mississippi State, he's never beaten them. 0-4, he's 0-5, I believe, and because there's an SEC tournament game in there, and all the games, I think, for the most part, if they're not high double digits, they're double digits. I think State was close his first year over in Tuscaloosa, but that might be
they had a couple of games at home where they were in position and they just couldn't make free throws.
Yeah. I remember that the first game of his first SEC game was against Alabama. That was the was it the Brandon Miller team? That would have been last year. And they just missed so many free throws. 2 years ago, it was the game that was their first game of the conference play was against Alabama, and they missed a ton of free throws. So for whatever reason, Alabama's just been an issue for them. Missouri has been a team. State obviously beat them a season ago because Missouri didn't beat anybody. I remember that game at Missouri a couple years ago where the Tigers won on a buzzer beater, and that game probably is the difference between State being in the play-in game and being in the actual field of 64 a season ago or two seasons ago. So this is two teams that Jans has, you know, had some success with when talking about Missouri and no success when you talk about Alabama. I think if State were to go 2-0 this week, it really makes it makes State a very loud team at that point. They would probably jump into the top 10. Their net would probably go up into the top 10 or close to it. And at that point, you're making a pretty loud statement that, you know, it's Auburn on top of the SEC. You have Tennessee and Florida. You have, you know, Texas A&M. But Mississippi State's right there in the mix with those teams if they go 2-0 this week.
Yeah, it's a tall task, but both games being at home obviously is big. And you win those two games, you're immediately – in the upper tier in the SEC at that point. I mean, obviously, like you said, you're at the point where Auburn is now starting to pull away from most of the pack a little bit. You know, Alabama's still very much in the mix, but you go 2-0 this week and you're looking at, you're probably in the top three at that point, top three, top four, and now you're fighting for seeding within the SEC and the SEC tournament, and you've really pushed yourself. I mean, you're talking 2-3 seed in the NCAA tournament projections. Mm-hmm. So it would be absolutely huge. I mean, right now you got three combined losses between Alabama and Missouri. They're in the top four. inside the SEC. So you're facing two top four SEC teams here at home this week. It's a absolutely huge week for Mississippi State, a chance to kind of bounce back, at least from a perception standpoint within this fan base, gain some confidence and show that you are getting better and you're not stuck in this rut or whatever it is. And, you know, with that said, I think when you look at these two games, it's two games that I think you've got to have. Josh Hubbard's got to start coming out of this at some point and being a knockdown shooter again and a big-time scorer for Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that's holding them back with him not being able to do what he did so well last year, and having those nights where he's hitting 6-7 three-pointers and he's lighting up the gym. We just haven't been able to see that this year. And I think for State to truly kind of get back to where they want to be, he's got to start getting back in a rhythm. So it's a huge week, and there's a chance to do some big things still for Mississippi State. You know, winning in the SEC title, that's going to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But at this point, you're trying to get in the best position possible for Nashville, and you're trying to get in the best position possible for the NCAA tournament. You know, an SEC championship would be awesome, but you're going up against, you know, one of the great teams we've seen in the last several years in Auburn. Mm-hmm. That's going to be very difficult, but this team can still accomplish just about everything else in the regular season here, and this is a really good starting point this week with these two incredibly tough teams, and one of them in Missouri that you're counting coming into the season being an easy win.
Yeah,
and that's just not the case.
I think that 1-1 this week, it, normally I would tell you it doesn't make a difference, right? That is 1-1 is 1-1. If you beat Alabama, it makes a louder statement to me because they've given you so much trouble in the past. You know, State's certainly capable of beating Alabama, and they've been capable in basically all of the games they've played against them, but they haven't been able to get over that hump. If they beat Missouri and lose to Alabama, I think everybody's just like, ah, it's just business as usual for Mississippi State. If they beat Alabama, you can write off the Missouri game and say like, well, they were still riding high and Missouri knocked them back down to earth. It becomes like a trap game, however you want to look at it. But I think State would even rise in the rankings if they just beat Alabama and were still to lose Missouri. If you beat Missouri and lose to Alabama, I think everybody's just like, ah, it's just business as usual. State's fine. They're moving forward. Next week, they'll probably win at Georgia, and then you go into that second half of the schedule, full speed ahead. So I'm putting a little bit too much pressure on this Alabama game, but State's just been so poor against them the last 2 years. I would like to see State come out and find a way to especially in this Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, you know, month that you've had. You'd like to get one of them. This is your last opportunity.
Yeah. If they beat Alabama, you really need to beat Missouri too, though.
You do. You want to keep that momentum going.
You don't want to beat Alabama and then lose to Missouri, and then you got to go on the road to Georgia. So, like, that's the conundrum here, is like you really don't want to win that game and then lose to a 20th-ranked Missouri team. So I would disagree on that. I would rather have Missouri over Bama if I had to pick the two, just because I don't want the momentum of that just doesn't. It doesn't line up well for Mississippi State. And you take a lot of the bloom off the rose, too, after beating Alabama, immediately losing to Missouri and then going on the road to Georgia. So it would be great if they just won both of them and just eliminated that scenario altogether.
Yes. That's the best-case scenario, for sure. 0-2, surprisingly, it's not a wipeout or anything. It would be bad. It would not be good for Mississippi State. But even at 0-2, at that point, what are you? You're 4-5 in the conference. Still a ton of winnable games left to be played. So I think from a perception standpoint, and obviously from a fan base standpoint, as we were talking about, Mississippi State fans would be up in arms at that point. They would, you know, be lighting torches and grabbing pitchforks. But it doesn't kill you, and that's a testament to how good this team has played 20 games into the season. That an 0-2 spot here at two home games, it wouldn't be good for Mississippi State, but it's not a killer either.
Yeah, they're not really in, like, you know, the games right now that's going to kill their resume or anything like that. But it's just that, you know, you're constantly trying to build this resume. Everybody else, you know, in this top half is building a strong resume too. and you're just trying to keep up with the Joneses at this point. So it's a big week and kind of staying ahead of the curve. You have a chance to really elevate yourself this week in these two games. And, you're trying to get over the hump too. Alabama and Kentucky are kind of becoming Mississippi State's like Achilles heel. They've really struggled to beat them. Mm-hmm. Ben Howland won some games against Alabama. He could not beat Kentucky. State's had success against Auburn recently. They had success against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, Alabama and Kentucky have just owned Mississippi State. And this is an Alabama team that not many people are talking about right now. They've been a little they've looked mortal. They haven't looked like Alabama the last few years, but you look up and they're 6-1 in the league and they're 17-3 overall. Their one loss coming to Ole Miss in the game they just played absolutely poorly. You wonder what they look like on Wednesday night. This is a team that can really score the basketball. You can blink and they've got 90 to 100 points. State's going to have to defend really well. And we say it every year in this game, State has got to force their style of play on Alabama. Mm-hmm. It seems like in the games that State's let get away from them against Alabama, they've had to play their pace.
Yes.
And I feel like I say that a lot in some of these games, but it's true. State can't get in other people's kind of games. Mm-hmm. Like they can survive that way, but that's not the best way that Chris Jans teams win. That's not the games that they have control over. So they've got to be able to play their game and not get in this sped up, pace filled play that Alabama plays with, where they can just bury you with threes or, turnovers turning into quick points. If State's turning it over, it needs to be dead ball turnovers. It doesn't need to be turnovers that are leading to breaks, that are leading to points, that are, they can hit threes in transition like just about, better than anybody. So this is a game that I feel like State's got to come out and dictate their own pressure and dictate what they want to do. And they haven't been able to do that a whole lot in the last few weeks. So that's going to be the key for them, is they've got to come out and have a lot of success early in this game, clamp down on Alabama defensively and get them frustrated, get them flustered. And also, I thought one thing that Ole Miss did really well, turned them over, rebounded it pretty well too against Alabama. It's got to be one and done possessions for Mississippi State against the Crimson Tide. So big game for sure.
Yeah, no question about that. Going to be a massive couple of games this week at the Humphrey Coliseum. Mississippi State just announced that the Saturday game with Missouri is a sellout and that a few tickets remain. I mean, an 8 o'clock tip on a Wednesday, I understand why there's still some tickets available to that. Tough situation for fans, but it is what it is. I still expect a big crowd and an excited crowd at the Hump this weekend. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. I haven't been to Two Brothers since, I guess I went, we were there with the Tip-Off Society, but I haven't just had a sit-down meal there in quite some time. I need to make that happen probably this week. And I would suggest that you do the same. If you're going to be in Starkville this week or this weekend, if you're coming to Mississippi State for any reason, a trip to Two Brothers, I mean, it's just part of the gig at this point. You need to be heading over there and grabbing a meal. Or you can head over to Starkville's best new restaurant, the Older Brother. Robbie and I love the Older Brother. We were just there the other day, and now they're offering dinner on the weekends. It's a really, really good menu. You need to go check it out if you haven't done so already. Grab a meal in the Cotton District at two of our favorite places, Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
That was a good one. That was aggressive. I like that. When you need technology for your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new information systems, new computers, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. And then if you need any kind of service on something that they've sold you, guys, it's just a click away. They make it easy. They don't put you on hold forever. They're not going to have to set up an appointment with somebody from another state. It's just talk to the person you made the sale with, and they'll get somebody out there quickly. A lot of times it's going to be the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to any games this weekend, but next time you're in Starkville and you're thinking, "Guy, I could go for some new stuff." You know, and I know how it is. When you come to Starkville, you want to get some new gear. Let me make the choice easy for you. Go to Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection. They have stuff you can't find anywhere else. And best of all, they are a Bulldog Initiative business. You can buy all the Bulldog Initiative gear there as well. So you know you're supporting Mississippi State when you support Maroon & Co. And we'll save you some money. Thunder15 is the promo code. 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the hump this weekend, make sure you're headed to Maroon & Co. We are just weeks away. We're getting into days away from the start of the college baseball season here in Starkville for Mississippi State. Preseason number 18 in the D1 baseball poll. Robbie, you put an article last week. Scott, you're doing some projections for the starting lineup for Mississippi State. We talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago. You feel like you've got a little bit better handle on it. So I just thought we'd go through that. I know you're planning later this week to go through the pitching rotation and what your thoughts are there. We'll come back to that for there. Who are the names that we can just go ahead and put in on Sharpie? I know Hunter Hines has got to be one. Who else is a sure fire starter on opening day?
I think Ace Reese at third base. I think I feel that Dylan Cupp's probably locked in at shortstop at this point. And then from there, I mean, I think Bryce Chance is definitely in the day one lineup, but is it going to be center field or left field? Mm-hmm. Because as Chris Lamonis told us on Friday, he's really pushing for that center field spot where Michael O'Brien is, who's my projected center fielder. I feel pretty good about Nolan Stevens in right field. I feel pretty good about Ross Highfield behind the plate. The biggest battles, I would say, are second base. And then, like I said, left and right field, wherever Bryce Chance ends up, that other position. I think it's going to be Chance in left, Michael O'Brien in center. And then at second base, you know, Chris Lamonis told us there's like five or six guys fighting for second base. I projected, I think, Gatlin Sanders as the starting second baseman. I think Sawyer Reeves is in the mix, an older guy that's been around for a long time. You know, I think that Lucas Buckner's a freshman that's fighting for playing time in the middle infield. So there's some options. That's a good thing to have. Mississippi State didn't have a ton of options behind the starters last year. So that's they're in a pretty good spot as far as depth is concerned. But like Lamona said too on Friday, they feel good about depth going into last season. And then by the middle of the season, you look up and you have two guys maybe that you could bring off the bench and feel like they could help you. So staying healthy is important. Continuing to push each other, continuing to get better is important too. But, yeah, that group of guys that I mentioned I think are definitely, I would say, definite starters for day one. Mm-hmm. And I still feel good about Michael O'Brien at center. But that's Lamonis's comments the other day led me to believe that Chance is a real possibility too in center field. So – that's going to be something to watch.
A couple of questions I have. One name that keeps popping up when I see scrimmage reports going back into the fall behind the plate is Jackson Owen, just having a monster preseason in terms of what he's doing at the plate. Now, I remember his recruitment. He was recruited as one of the top defensive catchers in the junior college ranks, but now he seems to have found something at the plate. How much of a challenge is he going to present to Highfield?
Yeah, I think he's going to present a challenge. And, you know, could be a guy that ends up at DH. The way that he's hitting right now, if he continues to swing the bat like this, he did it in the fall. You know, according to a lot of reports, he's doing it in the practices so far in these scrimmages. So he was a Golden Glove guy in junior college, one of the top catchers in the country in junior college. Covered him a little bit at Starkville High School, too, during his career there. And has just been steady for them. Had a year off basically last year as a red shirt and worked behind some guys like Johnny Long and Joe Powell. So, you know, he got some good experience just in practice last year, and it seems like he's a guy that's ready to make that jump. Very intrigued to see, you know, what happens there, because you have a real option, I feel like, at the plate and behind the plate there if Ross Highfield is just not living up to it or he's hurt or whatever. Jackson Owen looks like a true threat for, you know, being an everyday player. And I feel like at catcher, they just haven't, they've had issues like in the past with a guy might be catching well, but he doesn't hit well. He might be a good hitter, but he's not great behind the dish. Mm-hmm. Like I like Joe Powell a lot as a receiver, but is he going to be able to hit, you know, 285 plus? I don't know if that's going to happen. Jackson Owen, I think, is a little more total package kind of guy. I think he can do a lot of things for you. And, you know, if Ross Highfield is having a slump or something, that's a guy you can slide in. Or, like, if you want to catch him on a Saturday, you feel like you're not losing a whole lot putting him in the lineup as opposed to Highfield. So, really, they're in a really good spot at catcher right now, it seems like. Because, like, if Joe Powell ends up being your number three guy, a guy that's been around baseball for a long, long time. He's, you know, 23, 24, whatever he is right now. If he's your number three, you're in great shape. So, you know, I like what I'm hearing about Jackson Owen. He's a guy that I think could impact Mississippi State's lineup all season long, and especially early on in the year. That's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out for sure. I mean, We've heard a lot about Highfield from Lemonis. I think Lemonis is very high on him just because of the athlete that he is. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if he's not starting day one, but it's also putting up some antennas, seeing what Jackson Owen's doing right now. And that's going to be a battle that I think is just ongoing the whole year.
DH is always a spot where, you know, you're trying to find guys. Noah Sullivan, I mean, that's who came out at media day, you know, of all the guys that could have come out, a player that we've never talked to before, Noah Sullivan, got the nod. So you got to feel like he's going to be in that starting lineup. That's who you have predicted at the DH position. You mentioned Jackson Owen there. Who are some other names to watch at that position? I would think, you know, there's some of your veterans like Aaron Downs or maybe Ethan Pulliam could get some run there. But there's a lot of new faces who are trying to get into this lineup as well.
Yeah, you know, Aaron Downs is definitely a guy that could factor into that. Jackson Owen, obviously. You know, Steven Spilletta, who knows about him? He helped Mississippi State. Well, he didn't get a lot of play last year, but he did, you know, slide in the lineup a couple of times, or he would come in late in ball games. He's got some potential with the bat for sure. They have some guys that they can move around. You know, obviously, you got other guys like Joe Powell. You got Reed Stallman over at first base. I don't know if his bat's going to play in the SEC, but that's a guy that you could potentially move in there as well. There's a lot of different things you can do. You can have somebody in right field and Nolan Stevens at DH. I don't know how they're going to play it out, but I like the fact that they have a lot of options there. Sullivan, to me, feels like the best fit right now. And I think he's going to put together some good at-bats. He gives you some pop. He had 18 home runs last year for USC Upstate. And he's just a real heady veteran guy that's just like Joe Powell. He's been around for a long time. So I think they're going to utilize a lot of guys in that spot this year. I think we're going to see so many different lineups over the year just from matchups or who's hot, who's not. It's going to be a real feel thing, I feel like, with Jake Gautreaux and Chris Lemonis this year with this group. Because you got – last year, I thought that a lot of the reserves, they were really young. You know, Ethan Pulliam for a while was – they're trying him out, true freshman. They tried out Michael O'Brien and some other guys. I mean, their backups were mostly freshmen. This year, you have pieces that have played baseball for a good bit here, whether it be at Mississippi State or somewhere else. You can move guys around this lineup. You can move them in the field. DH, I feel like Noah Sullivan's going to be that guy game one, and then it's going to be Phil the rest of the way, I believe.
What's the position you're the most concerned about going into the season? Is it that third outfield spot? Because I feel like we think Chance and Stevens have got two of those nailed down. Or is it second base?
You know, defensively, I would actually say I just don't know yet on Ace Reese at third.
Mm.
That's a really important position, as we've seen at Mississippi State for a long time, and they've had a lot of problems out of that spot. And I thought Logan Kohler did a good job last year. I thought, you know, when he was healthy defensively, I didn't see a lot of issues with him, but it was more offensively and the consistency there. You know, how does Ace Reese handle that? You know, handle that position on a day-to-day basis, that hot corner that State has really struggled to, you know, lock down over the years. And one of the things that they wanted to do last year was go get a third baseman that could play defense, and they got it. Ace Reese is, you know, he's played outfield. He's been DH at Houston. Mm-hmm. So this is – you know, this is a little different. This is going to be a little different position for him, and it could come with some growing pains. But I would definitely say that would be my biggest question mark defensively at this point. I don't think they're going to have any issues at second base defensively. And you know, outfield, I think they'll be okay too. But as far as the defense, third base would be my biggest question mark going in.
Is that just a situation where they felt like he was the best fit at that position, or what? Because it felt like, you know, that he could have just gone into the outfield. It could have been, you know, Stevens, Reese, and Chance out there, and somebody else at third. Do they just not feel good about their other options at third?
Well, you know, you got to have him in the game, and he's athletic enough that they felt like he could play that position. And also, they're just really high on Michael O'Brien in center field and Bryce Chance, obviously, and you know, Nolan Stevens. They feel good about him too, and that's pretty much what I think on that. I just think they felt like he was probably the best fit for that athletically, and you know how he plays the game. He's not entirely brand new to this. I mean, he can play it, but we just haven't seen it. We have a very small sample size at this point, and so it's more of a question for me as much as it is. I'm just really concerned about it because it's something I know. I just don't know enough about him at that spot to feel really solid about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff. We'll hit up the pitchers later this week once your article is out on On3. If you're not familiar with On3 and Maroon and White Daily, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. You're missing out. All right. Tomorrow's show, you know what it is. It's the Rumblings. We'll talk whatever you want to talk about. I'll get an interview with somebody and just to have some Alabama Mississippi State preview on the show as well, or just at least on the podcast feed. So we'll do that as well tomorrow. So get your questions in, and we will be happy to answer them. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.